This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand upright. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I do to help me keep the main thing, when I'm putting together a sermon for you, is to give it a title. And so when I'm thinking of what to include or not to include in it, and I lose my way, as often happens, I can always go back to the beginning and rediscover the title, and just like that, I'm back on track. So I was thinking about this. As of this summer, I've been blessed to share God's Word with you here at Mountain of Faith for 8 years. And in all that time, I think I've only told you the title of a sermon once. Usually that information is for my eyes only. But not this week. This week, for a couple of different reasons, I think it's important for you to know the title of this sermon. And it is, "My Religion Isn't Cutting It." My religion isn't cutting it. This kind of sounds kind of serious, doesn't it? Especially on a day when we're receiving new members into the church, to talk about how my religion isn't cutting it. So before you jump to some sort of a conclusion, let me just say that this sermon and this title has nothing to do with me or Mountain of Faith having some kind of problem with our Lutheran faith. Because there is no problem here. Let's be clear about that. But this sermon and this title does have something to do with our first lesson and our gospel reading from Luke chapter 13. In that first reading from Isaiah 58... the prophet is quite clearly stating that for a whole lot of reasons, the religion, at least the way that religion is being practiced by those early Hebrews in Judah, that religion just wasn't cutting it. And right here, I think we need a little reminder as to what the job of the prophet, God's prophet, really was. The prophet's first responsibility is to speak to the people from God's point of view. And this may or may not include predicting the future, but you know, a prophet has a direct line to God, and for that reason, sometimes future events are going to be revealed, but most often, God gave his word to his prophet so that the prophet could call the people of God to repentance. And that's exactly what's going on in our first lesson today from Isaiah. And that becomes really crystal clear to us if we go back just a couple of verses from where our reading begins. Our reading begins at verse 9 in chapter 58. But if we go back just to verse 2, it says this: "For day by day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of God." I think we give Israel a big whoops here. It's pretty obvious that Israel has forgotten and forsaken God's commands. They very clearly are pointing the finger of blame. They are speaking evil of one another. And they very clearly are not feeding the hungry and ministering to the afflicted. And it's pretty clear that they've forgotten and forsaken the Sabbath day. So about 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah is calling the people of Judah back to God. In other words, the Jewish religion, at least as it was being practiced in Judah in that day, just wasn't cutting it. Because it's one thing to profess faith. It's another thing to live it. And so if we take even a casual look at what Isaiah was calling the people of Israel to do, it becomes very clear very fast that he was not calling them to be more religious. Because the Jewish religion of that day was just fine. God's commands to the people of that day were just fine. But it was Israel's failure to put those commands into practice that was not fine. Religion wasn't Israel's problem. And I think if we're honest with ourselves today, with our religion, it's not a problem either. Religion isn't our problem. Most often relationships are our problem. Everything the prophet Isaiah was calling Israel to do and to fix had to do with fixing relationships. Israel had gotten very good at pointing the finger of blame at one another. And then as now that old saying about when you point the finger of blame at someone, there are three more fingers pointing back at you, is very real. People were speaking ill and evil of one another. They weren't feeding the hungry, and they weren't helping the afflicted. So the short story is their relationships, their personal relationships were a mess. And then if we read verses 13 and 14 in that first lesson, we find out that their relationships with God were a mess too. They were a mess because they weren't observing the Sabbath, that holy day set aside by God for His people to rest. They just weren't paying attention to it. From the very beginning, God had called upon Israel to look after one another, to care for the widow and the orphan. Even the aliens who weren't Jewish, who were living among them, were to be taken care of. Israel was supposed to be in relationship with God and to be able to live out that relationship so that they would be a light to the nations. But instead, they had turned on one another. And the truth is that in their prosperity, had all but forgotten God. And so Isaiah's message to them was that their religion, at least the way they were practicing at the time, just wasn't cutting it anymore. They weren't honoring God, they weren't honoring each other, and God, through Isaiah, was calling them back to do just that. I'm going to suggest to you that over 700 years later, when Jesus is talking to the ruler of the synagogue in our gospel lesson today, he's delivering that same message. Your religion isn't cutting it. And it's right here. It's helpful to know something about Jewish history and Jewish law in first century Israel. Because you know, in Jesus' day, religious Jews, especially the Pharisees, were very serious about observing the Sabbath. And on the face of it, that looks like a pretty good thing because Isaiah had called Israel to task for not observing the Sabbath. But by Jesus' day, they were overreacting. In Jesus' day, there were 613 laws that religious Jews had to live by, and 29 of them had to do with observing the Sabbath. That's a lot to keep track of. There were laws about whether or not you could untie certain kinds of knots. about what and how much you could cook, even about how many steps you could take so that it wouldn't be considered work. And in our gospel lesson, when the ruler of the synagogue tells the people there are 6 days on which work ought to be done, come on those days and be cured, he wasn't trying to be heartless or cruel. He was trying to follow the law. Because Jewish law said that a healer could cure someone on the Sabbath if it was a life-threatening situation. But if you had a chronic situation like being stooped over, like that lady in our gospel lesson, or if you were like the man in Luke chapter 14 that Jesus heals on the Sabbath, the man with dropsy, we know that today as congestive heart failure. If you had a chronic condition, you had to wait until the Sabbath was over before seeking treatment. So when Jesus healed the woman today on the Sabbath, he was very clearly in violation of Jewish law. He was not following the do's and don'ts of the religion of that day. And it didn't bother him one little bit. And it didn't bother him because Jesus was much more concerned about ministering to people in need than he was about following a bunch of religious rules and regulations. As far as he was concerned, the religion of the synagogue wasn't cutting it anymore. There was a daughter of Abraham in need, and Jesus made it his business to care for this woman, regardless of what day it was on the calendar. Now, with all that in mind, I dare you to ask the average person on the street, especially in our culture today in Utah, what they think of when they hear the word religion. Chances are you're going to hear something like, oh, religion, that's just a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. And you know what? Sometimes they're right. Sometimes, as churches, we do make a lot of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts, because that then gives certain people control over certain other people. In the minds of many people, institutional religion is about control. And maybe that's why today people prefer to describe themselves as spiritual rather than religious. I'm going to suggest to you that when we allow our religion to become all about regulations and rules and control, then our religion just isn't cutting it anymore. And I have to think that Jesus would be the first one in line to tell us that. So today I'm going to offer you an alternative. Maybe instead of thinking about religion and being religious, maybe we ought to be thinking about relationships. After all, that's what Isaiah was calling the people to get back to in that first lesson. Instead of focusing on religion, let's focus on relationships, on building and strengthening the relationships among ourselves and our relationship with God. I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here and say that I would be very surprised if any of the folks that will soon be coming forward to officially join Mountain of Faith today are doing so because they have some great desire to be more religious. Do you think any of them just can't wait to start following a lot of rules and regulations that come with being part of a church? I doubt it. It's much more likely that they feel like there are some good folks here that they would like to get to know better, that they can see themselves having some growing relationships, and maybe more importantly, that this is a place and a people with whom their relationship with God can be nurtured. At least I hope that's the case. But let me close with this. There is a very good chance that you know someone who might be in a situation where their religion just isn't cutting it anymore. is not providing them with the quality of life or the quality of relationships, either with other people or with God, that they really need and really want. And I'd suggest to you that you invite that person to the mountain of faith, where hopefully they will see that we really are more about relationships than religion. And here's the best news you're going to hear all day. Jesus Christ, the King of all creation, the firstborn of the dead, the very Son of Almighty God, wants to have a personal relationship with you. He doesn't think of you or call you servants. He calls you friends. He says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. In the great cosmic plan for the universe, Jesus knew you were worth dying for. That's a God worth following. That's a God worthy of our praise and worship. Here at Mountain of Faith, we're blessed to discover the grace and freedom, not the rules and regulations, that come with being a real follower of Jesus. Amen.